Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well. Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well. Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well. Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well. My chain hits my chest when I'm banging on the dashboard. My chain hits my chest when I'm banging on
the dashboard. Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy to say that I've got Anya in the booth with me, and we are going to be joined this hour by two of Civic Media's own, the hosts of Raised in Wisco, none other than Joel Clefish and Danielle Friedman. So excited to be doing that. Then I'm going to hang around for a little bit with them after my show's over. But in all seriousness, got to just jump right into some things here. First of all, I watch a little bit of TV now and again. Have y'all seen this commercial for kids' toys? They're Hess trucks. These things sell for like $50 a piece. And these Hess trucks, it's like all police vehicles, okay? That's what it is. And the current ad that's running, it's like you buy the truck thing and you get a... This is from their website now. The, quote, heavy-duty dual-axle police truck is a geared-up, green-colored, tactical, support-enhanced vehicle. So it's like a tactical police vehicle? Why am I talking about this? Oh, by the way, there are 55 different red and blue light features, and they've got all kinds of sirens, and oh, there's a slide-out battering ram. Why am I talking about this? It had kind of lodged in my brain because there's been a lot of sort of media and Hollywood entertainment descriptions and depictions of law enforcement over many years. A lot of folks refer to it as the law and order effect, whereby we think everybody is Olivia Benson. Right, like fighting for the victims, you know, very always following the letter of the Constitution, consulting with the attractive, always female assistant district attorneys. And it glamorized and it gave us almost what I would argue is a really idealized version of the police. These were, you know, it's Lenny Briscoe, baby's dad from Dirty Dancing, like that guy you trust, right? Dennis Farina, guy who always plays a gangster or cop, was in this old show, Crime Story. These were people that, even where they had personal flaws, these people fought for us. Fight for regular people. And it made us all feel really good about the police and district attorneys and law enforcement agencies. And I think that's all fine. Now, there's actually a bit of a dirty underside to that. I'm not going to get into that now because I've got other things I want to talk about today, including the recently introduced GOP Assembly Bill 641. And if you want to know about Dick Wolf's political proclivities, there's Google. Very interesting backstory on Law and Order. But my point here is, I grew up, because of my whiteness, the privilege I had, you know, never having ever conceived that I could ever have a negative interaction with the police. Inherent trust, without question, unquestioning inherent trust, faith, if you will, near religion style faith in law enforcement agencies and police. Obviously, as I have matured and grown up and had some different sorts of experiences, my view has become more nuanced and complicated. And just like any group of people with an extraordinary amount of power, you don't take it on faith. You got to ask for accountability. You got to seek greater transparency, all those things. And I've been humbled and opened my mind to the fact that the whiteness of my skin gives me a privilege, a freedom, a comfort with which I move through the world that not everybody else enjoys. especially Black folks. So I just, you know, we glamorize law enforcement in many ways. These trucks, this tactical vehicle with a battering ram and 55 different lights and all kinds of different sirens is a children's toy that we will give for Christmas. It's a military vehicle, folks. It's like a Humvee, basically, with a battering ram. This is a child's toy. This is the police. It's fine if the police are just like the military. That's the message. Law and order. You can always trust the police. There's no problem there. Religious-like reverence and faith extended nearly without question for decades and decades and decades. And then cell phone videos and body cameras. We're having different conversations now. This was not what I was going to talk about today, by the way, but as I was sitting waiting for my show to start, an article popped up on my phone. This is a New York Times investigative report. The title of the article is "How a Goon Squad of Deputies Got Away with Years of Brutality." And I started reading it and I thought, nope, this is what we're going to talk about. So here goes. This is reporting by Brian Howie and Nate Rosenfield, just published minutes ago by the New York Times. For nearly two decades, a loose band of sheriff's deputies roamed impoverished neighborhoods across a central Mississippi county, meeting out their own version of justice. Narcotics detectives and patrol officers, some whom called themselves the Goon Squad, barged into homes in the middle of the night, accusing people inside of dealing drugs. Then they handcuffed them or held them at gunpoint and tortured them into confessing or providing information, according to dozens of people who say they witnessed the assaults. Witnesses described violence that sometimes went on for hours and seemed intended to strike terror into the deputies' targets. In the pursuit of drug arrests, deputies of the Rankin County Sheriff's Department shocked Robert Jones with a taser in 2018 while he lay submerged in a flooded ditch, then rammed a stick down his throat until he vomited blood. During a raid the same year, deputies choked Michael Hobson with a lamp cord and waterboarded him to simulate drowning, then beat him until the walls were spattered with his blood. That raid took place at the home of Rick Loveday, a sheriff's deputy in a neighboring county, who said he was dragged half naked from his bed. This is a sheriff's deputy that this happened to, who said he was dragged half naked from his bed at gunpoint before deputies jabbed a flashlight threateningly at his buttocks and then pummeled him relentlessly. The string of violence might have continued unchecked if not for one near fatal raid in January, according to a Justice Department investigation. Deputies broke into the home of two Black men, Michael Jenkins and Eddie Parker, shocked them with tasers, and threatened to rape them. Deputy Hunter Elward then shoved the barrel of a gun into Mr. Jenkins' mouth, not realizing that a bullet was in the chamber, and pulled the trigger. Mr. Jenkins was grievously injured. The incident was thrust into the national spotlight, and in August, five deputies and a police officer pleaded guilty to criminal charges. The article goes on. And it quotes the sheriff of Rankin County claiming, I didn't know any of this was going on. I'm disgusted and shocked by all of this criminal activity. And that's where the investigative journalism part kicks in, because they went through hundreds of court records. And it is simply a lie that the sheriff of this county didn't have some idea that something so egregious, so extreme, such an extraordinary violation of civil rights and constitutional rights had been going on for a long time in Rankin County, because lawsuits repeatedly alleged it and had witness accounts substantiating those. So I ask you, why is it presumptively okay to glorify any sector of government, any group of people with this kind of power? Especially when for so many decades we reflexively on faith in a near religious sort of reverence simply trusted. But now we have information that draws that faith, that reverence, that unequivocal, unquestioning, unblinking trust into questions, stories like these. This is extreme, I grant you. But it was persistent, it was known, and it was participated in by over 20 different officers over years. That kind of betrayal, it's beyond betrayal of trust. It's inhuman. It's torture. It's human rights abuses at the most grotesque level. And just so that we all don't, those things don't happen here. I've been from Milwaukee, born and raised here, lived here a very long time. Yes, do you remember the body cavity search cases? Because I do. Drug interdiction, violent crime interdicting cops that were in a particular unit. And most police departments have these high-intensity drug trafficking. They got all these cool names for these special units. These guys strip searched and did cavity searches of grown men not yet guilty of a crime in public on the street. That happened at MPD within the last 10 years. So maybe let's not give out the militarized police vehicles as Christmas presents to toddlers. I don't know, just a thought. Maybe we don't take shows like Law and Order as biblical truth. Just a thought. Maybe we actually engage in having a nuanced, complicated, difficult decision, because I know a whole number of cops personally, and they are friends of mine, and they do incredible work every day, and I will be forever grateful for their service. But the ones that act like the goon squad, because they exist, we got to be able to talk about. When I come back, I'm going to tell you about Assembly Bill 641. You're not going to believe it, because I certainly didn't. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hands up, hands high. Don't go screaming if I blow you with a bang. Sicky, sicky. I'm coming in the Cherokee gasoline. There's steam on the window screen. Take it, take it. Wheels bouncing like a trampoline. When I get to where I'm going, gonna have you trembling. Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well. Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well. Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well. Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well.
To the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Go get that app. It's free. But if you don't want the app and you're sitting at home right now, you can also listen to me on your Alexa devices. You just need to talk at the thing. And by the way, if you don't know this about your Alexa device, you can go on the Alexa app and you can change the voice to a man's voice and you can rename the thing Ziggy, which I have done because I get to boss a guy around at home. It's fun. You can listen to me on Alexa, tell all your friends. You can call me up on Spotify. You can catch the old episodes there too. Lots of ways to access the Maggie Dawn Show. Donald Trump claimed yesterday, and I'm going to get to Assembly Bill 641 in a second, but this is just too rich. Donald Trump claimed yesterday that BLM is now pro-Trump. Black Lives Matter, pro-Trump. Because this guy, Mark Fisher, who claims to be the co-founder of BLM Rhode Island, went on Fox and said he loves Trump. I love the man. How could you not like a real man, Mr. Fisher said. How could you not relate to someone like that? And he basically said, Black people need to, this is his words, not mine, Black people need to start pivoting off the Democratic plantation. We've been slaves to that party. Actually, we've been mental slaves, afraid to get off that plantation. And so then Donald Trump went on about this. Of course, this guy is not an actual leader of the Black Lives Matter movement, never was. He just set up a S Corp in Rhode Island that says BLM, RI, Inc. BLM had to denounce him. His organization is illegitimate, not in any way connected to the righteous BLM community fighting to protect and save Black lives. Continuing to call Mark Fisher a Black Lives Matter leader is disingenuous and inappropriate. And in case anybody has forgotten, here's what Donald Trump has actually said about BLM. It's a symbol of hate. They are spreading violence in our cities, and they are supporters of an organization called Black Lives Matter, or BLM. It's hurting the Black community. And he asked the Biden administration in June 2022, I didn't know this, Donald Trump, not president, asked the Biden administration to have the federal government step in to basically dismantle BLM because they are turning our communities into war zones. BLM and Antifa burn down cities, kill people, and nothing happens to them. I actually thought Kyle Rittenhouse killed somebody and nothing happened to him, but maybe those are alternative facts. Now BLM's pro-Trump. I mean, who knew? Who knew? Okay, Assembly Bill 641. The news is, it's just a never-ending cycle of I can't believe what I'm reading. But, you know, GOP Republicans in our state assembly, very, very concerned about these books that young people are reading. Goodness. Because apparently they don't know that kids now all have phones. There's the internet and there's internet porn. But let's worry about the books, the words. The words are the problem, not the interwebs. That's fine. So they introduced Assembly Bill 641. And here's what it does. It requires public libraries within 24 hours of anything being checked out by a child aged 15 or younger, it requires libraries within 24 hours to report a list of the items checked out by anyone aged 15 or under to their parents. Say what? I'm sorry, when did Margaret Atwood's writing become like there's some great scourge or like troublesome trajectory of youth now that they're reading Handmaid's Tale? Like what exactly is it, people, about the words? So here's what I've got in my head, because we know this is going to happen if this gets passed. And thank God there's Governor Evers and he would veto this nonsense. You'd have some kid who maybe isn't certain about their gender or their sexual preference, or is just curious, check out something that's been vetted by professional educational specialists and librarians and is in a public library. It's not pornography. Checks out a book, has very fundamentalist parents. Parents get the thing and the get the report and the kid gets the crap beaten out of him. That's going to happen. That would happen. I mean, can anybody listening actually make an argument to me that at some point in your life, you didn't go to a book to answer some kind of question that you were too embarrassed to ask a human being? Truly. Because if you never did that, or you never Googled something, you weren't too embarrassed to, because that's what a library is. It's the written down version of that. You can't trust librarians and we got a police report out. By the way, the idea of libraries keeping lists of things that people check out is just generally really, really uncomfortable. But no, this is what we need to spend our time doing. Current law, just by way of reference, parents can actually go and request that a library will do this, and the law permits them to do that. Otherwise, the material lists that you check out cannot be disclosed. And what begs question here, and it's not in this bill, is, well, what happens if the librarians don't do this exactly? Like, what's the enforcement mechanism? Because don't you just catch a whiff? We may be a wee bit downwind of the criminal penalties for the librarians that don't do that, because that would be the next extension. It's thought policing. Doesn't a 15-year-old, a 14-year-old, don't kids have a right to their thoughts to a certain extent? To curiosity, to the ability to check out a book about a subject matter that they're too embarrassed to ask another person about. I don't know. I just don't get it. I just do not get it. But you're gonna want to keep it locked in. I'm gonna spend a few minutes talking about Liz Cheney's memoir that just dropped, because boy, there are some whoppers in that sucker. She's not pulling any punches. So I'm gonna give you a little highlight reel. We might get Joel and Danielle in here and in the C block, but there's tons more to come on the Maggie Dawn Show. And do not forget, everybody, on Monday, I'm going to be joined by Princeton Professor of Sociology, Catherine Eden. We're going to talk about what universal vouchers actually are and what they are doing to return our public schools to segregated school systems. Keep it locked, everybody, and join our conversation. Text or call 844-967-2789. We'll be back with more after these important messages. I am Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm going to be joined shortly, by two good friends, Joel and Danielle, the co-hosts of Raised in Wisco. I can't wait to talk about all things Wisconsin, fall, winter, outdoor, as well as some of my foibles that I've had in the out of the doors. There are many. Before we get there, though, you may have noted Henry Kissinger died yesterday at the age of 100. I don't know that any other person has impacted geopolitics more, other than, you know, you got to go like Napoleon, Genghis Khan. I mean, really complicated legacy, but also basically sort of set the stage for what is now modern diplomacy, more sort of on the realpolitik end of it. But wow. And one can only think about what Mr. Kissinger has had going through his head with October 7th and the continuing conflict between Israel and Hamas, as we just hear that they will be extending the ceasefire for another day as more hostages are released. Thank goodness for that. As we're approaching the Hanukkah season, all good things. I do want to temper some of my enthusiasm for the ceasefire and the hostage releases with this bit of breaking news. You're hearing it here first on the Maggie Dawn Show. The New York Times is reporting that Israeli officials obtained Hamas's actual battle plans more than a year before the October 7th attack, but dismissed the intelligence and the reports as aspirational, documents are showing. You know, we now know that in part that was true when we talk about 9/11 as well. So humility might be one common theme here. if you work in the intelligence fields and in military and law enforcement and foreign policy, humility. And the willingness to hear from others, particularly those who disagree, to hear from experts. And to always put principle above personal interests. And yet we all know that the great orange man, not something one would credit him for. And Liz Cheney has something to say about it. Her memoir is dropping. There are released copies out there. There's been extensive reporting on some of the pretty incredible detail that this book includes. And keep in mind, it is highly likely that she has told all of these things to Jack Smith. Sort of like, hey, Liz wrote a book about her Jack Smith deposition. That's one way to look at it. But the book's title is Oath and Honor. I'm going to share some of the like more jaw-dropping revelations that I thought deserved mention. She writes, in 2024, we will be voting on whether to preserve our republic. The assumption that our institutions will protect themselves is purely wishful thinking by people who prefer to look the other way. She's talking to you, Kevin McCarthy. She's talking to you, CJ. She continues, we have also now learned that most Republicans currently in Congress will do what Donald Trump asks, no matter what it is. I am very sad to say that America can no longer count on a body of elected Republicans to protect our republic. Let me say that one again. America can no longer rely on Republicans to protect our republic. This is the daughter of Dick Cheney, one of the modern strategic architects of the GOP pre-Trump. You know, the guy that actually sat behind the Oval Office desk. The Resolute desk. You know, GW was in the corner with his crayons. Dick was answering the bat phone. I've digressed. Okay, every one of us, Liz Cheney writes, Republican, Democrat, Independent must work together and vote together to ensure that Donald Trump and those that have appeased, enabled, and collaborated with him are defeated. This is the cause of our time. Ouch. Ouch. Certainly distills things down to a point of clarity, does it not? Some required reading. We're going to be bringing on Joel and Danielle just in a few moments. I don't know if I'm going to be able to see them on video too. You can always watch me and Joel and Danielle and Anya on YouTube and Facebook Live. You can chat us up there too. She talks about how some members of the House GOP caucus called him the Orange Jesus. Kevin McCarthy tries to explain to her that the reason he went down to Mar-a-Lago after January 6th is because Trump wasn't eating because he was depressed. Another little nugget. Apparently on January 6th, Jim Jordan and others suggested that women move from the aisles on the House floor into the, basically so they weren't, they wouldn't get hurt. And Jim Jordan went to take her hand and she told him to go F off and said, you created this. Yeah, Liz. And here's the last tidbit because I want to end the week on an up note, talk about some fun things. But here's this. You know, when Nancy Pelosi appointed Liz Cheney to the January 6th commission, a bunch of Democrats freaked out. And there were op-eds and people reminded Nancy Pelosi, then Speaker Pelosi, of all of the things, some pretty terrible things that Liz Cheney had said about Nancy Pelosi. Because Nancy Pelosi a decade has basically been a favored GOP punching bag, but inarguably one of the most effective speakers in the history of the House of Representatives. When Dems came to Nancy Pelosi and said, "We disagree, you shouldn't be doing this," she said all kind of nasty things about her. Cheney recounts that Nancy Pelosi said, "Why are you wasting my time with things that don't matter?" In other words, she didn't give one whit about the personal barbs and attacks that had been flung. And Liz Cheney says in her book, this thing: "Nancy and I may have disagreed on pretty much everything else, but she and I see and saw eye to eye on the one thing that matters more than any other, the defense of our Constitution and the preservation of our republic." Isn't that refreshing? You know, policy over personal power. I like it. Principles over personal power. I like it a lot. But let's move on. Let's bring on Joel and Danielle. Let's talk about some fun things. Let's talk about all things wonderful. Oh my God, I didn't wear my camo. I can see y'all now. I feel bad. If you want to watch this, check us out on YouTube and Facebook. You can see their wonderful camo and how woefully underdressed I look.
No, you're wearing snow camo. Danielle just said snow camo.
Yeah, that works.
Perfect. Welcome, Joel. Welcome, Danielle. Hello. So appreciative. This is so much fun. For folks who don't know your show, which they should, it's on Thursdays right after mine, 7 to 8. Tell everybody what Raised in Wisco is about.
Well, Raised in Wisco is about enjoying the outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin. Everything from fishing to hunting to kayaking, mountain biking, climbing, food, all the culinary feasts you can gather in the woods.
Culinary, that's definitely for sure. You're a master of the food.
and just from the very, very first earliest person to try the outdoors all the way through the vastly experienced. And that's one of the great things. I'm so blessed to have Danielle at my side. She is a fantastic hunter, a fantastic co-host. She and I had been doing a show together for 13 years. And now we get to host a radio show where we get to have it be the subjects that we love to talk about.
Yeah, it's been an absolute wild ride with you. So thank you for helping me get into this. But yeah, everything from the outdoors. And it's not only just about hunting and fishing, because that's not what everybody's into. But step outdoors, look at birds, bird watching, which I just started doing. And I got my first bird book. And I'm really excited.
That is so wonderfully nerdy. It's like, yes, I've crossed over into official bird watching dumb.
And I am making bird food now. Like the melting it out, like the suet thing.
Yeah, sure.
I'm making my own. I feel like that person now. I have to make my own.
Now, is the suet like bird specific? Because, man, I can spend like hours in a bird feed like aisle. Be like, ooh, which birds do I want to see? Right? Like,
yeah.
So what bird is your suet designed for? And does it involve peanut butter?
It does not involve peanut butter, because I actually hate the smell of peanut butter. I hate it. If it smells like peanut butter, it's gone. I hate peanut butter. No. But this is more of like a fat rendering. And you just mix it all together and you pour your bird food in there. And I'm trying to get all these cardinals back, because I absolutely love the sound of cardinals. And I wish I could keep the robins around, because the way they sound is so perfect. And that's one of the things I love about hunting. I have this this app. It's called the Merlin, Merlin app. And you record it, and it tells you every single bird that chirps. And it lights it up like in yellow, so you know what sound it is, so you can relate it to the bird. And then you can click on it.
It's like Shazam for birds, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Like,
dope. That's exactly
Merlin.
What it sounds like.
It's Merlin, everybody. Merlin.
Yeah,
Shazam for birds.
We had an eagle go over, and it got the eagle, and it told me everything about the eagles. And it told me, like we have, what do you call it? A male eagle. I want to say a drake.
I don't know.
What do you call a male eagle?
You're looking at Joel like that's just our, like Cliff Clavin here, like male eagles. Yes, great.
Joel knows everything. He is Google.
So you are the Cliff Clavin of Wisconsin outdoors.
I make it up. I make half of it up and
fake
then
it
just,
till you make
isn't
it.
Isn't that what most men do? They just say it with authority, yeah. Like yep. It's this.
You are.
That's exactly what I do.
True. That is, we make it up and then pretend like we know what we're talking about and hope we don't get caught.
Yep.
Which is a lot harder with Google now. I will tell you, it's like, a lot harder.
The answer box that everybody's got in their pocket is a little bit easier to call baloney.
Yeah. You know, I know that crows are called a murder.
That's, a murder? That,
yeah,
oh,
a murder of crows. And I
a
know that pigs
of geese,
are called a sounder.
I
really do get a kick out of what groups of animals are called.
Yeah, that actually is quite funny.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating, you know, quirk of English, especially like in particularly in German, a lot of that stuff makes sense because they just cobble together the words to make the compound word.
Right.
And you just say it in German.
Right.
Please don't call me German scholars from wherever Madison, right? I'm just generalizing here. But, you know, in English, because I like languages a lot, it's very,
I
stuff
love
is very
languages
fascinating.
And linguistics. I love it.
Yes.
I love it.
Languages, symbol, so very cool. Well, I have to say, when you start talking about rendering fat, Danielle, I just get excited over here.
That makes me hungry.
Right?
I don't know if it should, but it makes me hungry.
I'm going to kill you guys then, because one of my favorite meat places in the state is between Milwaukee and Shawnee County.
What
this
is
place
it?
Called, it's by Green Bay Maplewood Meats.
Ooh.
It's like the Mecca. It's like a church of meat. I'm sorry if you're vegetarian.
Church of
I'm
meat.
Offended right now.
I love it.
But speaking of rendering fat, I butter basted 2 ribeyes this evening.
Oh my gosh, come
with
on.
Rosemary, garlic, and thyme, and like slayed it.
Oh my gosh, that sounds
perfect.
Amazing. It was like $60 worth of steaks. You know, like
worth
you're
it.
Shaking as you're basting. Like, please God, don't go past
amazing.
Medium rare. Right?
It's perfect.
Listen. We're going to have some more yucks, talk about more rendering of fat and delicious food when we come back with Joel Clayfish and my good friend Danielle from Raised in Wisco. Keep it locked, everybody. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Thursday edition of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am hanging out with Danielle Freeman and Joel Clayfish of Raised in Wisco fame. You can catch them every Thursday on the Civic Media Radio Network right after my show. You listen to me talk about some depressing political stuff, and then you can lighten your load with Joel and Danielle. Talking about rendering fat, eating ribeyes, all kinds of good stuff. I take some cheap shots about guys. It's super fun. Which brings me to this point. I love giving guys a hard time because I call a man plan is no plan, right? Man plan, no plan. Except the most minute details when you are hunting, fishing, camping. Then all the meals are planned, right? It's like all of a sudden men have this incredible ability. They can't tell you what they ate for breakfast or what they might want for dinner today. But if
That's
they're
true.
Going hunting, they're like, here are the meals for the next 3 days, guys.
Mm-hmm.
All planned out. Y'all can figure out like the precise proportion of alcohol consumption per person. It's this amazing super skill. So I wanted to ask both you, Joel, and Danielle, because I am an avid Wisconsin camper.
Nice.
Excellent.
And I always like to ask people who are avid outdoorsmen, and men and women, what is your favorite gadget thing? Like, what do I need to go buy that's going to make my few days out of the doors like that much more enjoyable?
Oh, man. I have several answers to that because I absolutely love camping. So to me, if I had to boil it down to one accoutrement I would take camping, it would be the pudgy pie maker. Hands down.
Oh God, I got to get you together with my mom. Pudgy pies. Like we were eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
That's
you
right.
Put
you
anything
can do anything
pudgy
in there
pie.
And in a little cast iron, you know, collapsible accoutrement, for lack of a better word, goes in the fire. You can make everything from pizzas to delicious pies for dessert, s'mores, pudgy pies, you name it. A pudgy pie maker, I would say. These little Mr. Buddy heaters, which are catalytic heaters, so they give off no carbon monoxide. They convert carbon monoxide to carbon dioxide, so you can heat any little area with them.
With a little propane one of those. Tank.
Those are incredible. I absolutely love all the little gadgets to cut firewood, or, you know, they have these little saws that are essentially strings with a ring on it, and you can cut firewood. I like to start my fires with flint and steel when I'm out there, just because it feels neat. It feels like you're getting back to your root. It feels very primitive. So everything about hunting or about camping, I love, and I camp when I hunt sometimes too. And so that for me. And then they now have these little inflatable, like self-inflating rolled mats. So you roll the mat out, it self-inflates, and you can sleep completely comfortably, you know, in a tent. I absolutely love those. They've got solar-powered heated showers and fans to run during the summertime when it gets too hot. They even have little miniature solar-powered air conditioners to put in your tent when it's super hot.
Heck I love the multi-room tent. Like, I just pop for a 10 man, just because I can. It's like, if you're car camping, why not go for like the extra large condominium?
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love those kind of tents. They're great.
What are your like hacks for sleeping and living out of doors for a couple of days, Danielle?
Well, if I'm hunting and camping outdoors, I need my my foldable bed. What is it called? The foldable bed?
A cot. You forgot the word cot, Danielle? What were you guys doing in the studio before the show?
Like I said, he is my Google.
He's your Google? Well, then we have much to discuss later, Danielle. I'm concerned. I'm kidding, Joe. So you like the cot. Nobody likes to sleep on the cold, lumpy earth.
No, absolutely not. And my dog comes with me everywhere. So I need to bring his raised bed too. And literally everything I do, I put Bandit first because I don't have children. He is my fur child. So I have to make sure he's good. But going back to my essential thing that I need to bring, when I think camping, I'm thinking summer, spring, fall, where there's darn bugs. I need I need like a 12-pack of thermocells.
Those are the greatest. Oh, like,
when I discovered the thermosel, my life changed.
Right?
Okay, because I got that sweet blood. I'm Opaz. No one else will have a bite, and I will have 100 of them.
Yes.
I basically like strap them onto my hips and just walk around.
They are so awesome.
And then with the coolers, I have to I bought this divider thing that you have in the freezers. And the deep chest freezers, and you put the dividers in your cooler if your cooler is big enough. So, because everything freaking melts and everything gets wet, and then Danielle gets angry.
Yes.
And then it's all separated. So, it's kind of perfect when I think of camping and more or less thinking summer.
So, when I finally caved and went to like strictly car camping, I was like, well, first of all, it's bigger vehicle, because then I can bring like four coolers. Because one's where it doesn't matter when the ice melts and the stuff gets wet. One is like the deep freeze, like two weaker that cost, you know, the Yeti-ish stuff. One is the drink ice. Curious. I got to try the flint and steel, Joel. I watched people do it and I was like, newspaper.
You know what the secret? The secret to flint and steel is to bring some lint from your dryer along, because that will start right away. Like, that's the most flammable thing in your house, by the way. The lint from your dryer. So
you guys need to go on Survivor with the fire making.
Oh,
skill.
I would never make it. I am way too soft for Survivor.
Did you know Cool Ranch Doritos are actually a good fire starter? Doritos.
What?
Doritos.
I heard that. The
only the Cool Ranch. That's a perfect question.
Not the nachos, not the buffalo, the Cool Ranch.
I would think that the Flamin' Hot would be the ones would be the best fire starters, but evidently not.
Huh. I'm so glad it's not the Flamin' Hot Cheeto, because I love those.
Oh, those are delicious.
That's my jam. We ran out of time. Do I get to hang out with you guys?
You're going to be on our show.
Yep.
Threw up your show for a few minutes. Listen, most wonderful. Everybody out there, thanks for listening to the Maggie Dawn show this week. Thanks to Joel and Danielle. I'm going to stick around with them for a little bit more on Raised in Wisco. I appreciate your ears. Everybody stay safe and warm out there. It's been a pleasure. Before you let me get in, I can't believe you kiss your car at night. Now come on, baby, tell me, you must be joking, right? Okay, so you got a car. That don't impress me much.